There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats of the Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasSun.com. I also write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, which sometimes comes out on...
The Saturday. It only took us like the end of the year.
We did it. The Sunday is a publication that comes out on Sundays, but on occasion you'll find it a day early on the Saturday.
The Saturday.
That's what that is all about. Try and catch it on the Sunday, though.
Oh, my gosh.
The way God intended it. Joining me is Tricia McCrone.
Hi.
I kind of already,
I jumped in.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, when I say it literally took, I mean, it was organic the first time, and then I've messed it up every time since. So I did it right that time, the first time. The second time was a little sloppy.
That's all right. It just gives us more time to plug the publication.
There you go. But I do have to say that 2014, man, it's almost done. So we're going to do today what we do at the end of every single Cats of the Dish year, which, let's face it, there's been like four of them.
Yes, that's right. We started this in the spring. No, what was the month?
February
of 2011.
Was it 2011?
I believe it was.
Yes, it was. It was 2011. Yeah. So this is our third.
Yeah.
This okay, is, sorry.
So we're coming in on our fourth anniversary.
Oh my gosh, Cats. And it's like, for us, it's like our 15th or something as friends.
That's a lot of shows. When you think about it.
I know. We've like,
and I remember every one of them word for word.
Me too. I can recite them all.
Who's our first guest?
Holly Madison and Wayne Newton.
Wayne was the first guest.
Wayne was the first guest,
unannounced,
then Holly.
But Holly was, we got to get her back in here. See what's going on with Holly. I don't think she's been on since then, has she?
No, but she's very skinny. She's
amazing. I saw the photos.
I was like, wow. Thin. I mean, literally staring next to her, I'm like, oh my gosh, and you had a baby.
Yeah, and she's got brown hair. Browner hair now?
Yeah,
not. Is it? What is that color?
I think it's a light brown.
Light brown?
Auburn, maybe. No, auburn's red.
Mahogany?
I don't know. It's Carmel? It is mahogany.
Beige?
Starring Billy Dee Williams and Diana Ross. Do you know?
Okay.
But no, so anyway.
Billy Dee Williams, that's right.
I'm very, very excited. Like, because success is nothing unless you have someone to share it with. That
right.
was the tagline from that. But but I'm very excited because we always
Which
kind of
false.
Like sum up the past year on the show and the things in town that we've loved.
Yes,
and
we've had quite a year.
Quite a year.
Yes, so we're going to be talking about that. So stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
Hi, this is Mary Wilson of The Supremes, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. I'm sitting here, John Katsalamidis, with my beautiful co-host, Tricia McCrone, year-ending 2014. Putting a cap on it.
I know. And, you know, 2014 wasn't too bad.
It was an interesting year in the city. It was an interesting year everywhere. I can't believe how fast, we say this every year, it went by. And I'm trying to remember if I set a New Year's resolution and kept it. I don't think I did. I don't think I set one, nor do I think I kept one. Did you do that?
No, I did. You know what? Yes, I did. I said that this year, because last year I ended the year extremely ill, remember?
I had
to cancel Christmas and everything. So I said that I just wanted this year to be healthy and to have a positive attitude about things. And, you know, and I did keep it because I, after being so, so sick last year, and I think I told the story last year that I had to go through crazy balance therapy, long story, but I met a kid who was about 15. As I'm feeling sorry for myself and boo-hooing and, you know, tears and all that, I saw a kid who was at that center just learning how to walk, and he was about 15, and I said, hey, okay, reality check. I'm so blessed and so lucky that, you know, and I'm just going to be positive about things. And I really kind of have had a really, I think that I'm more positive about everything in 2014. So I kept it.
Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. That is good. That's achievable, and you achieved it. I don't think I did, I normally don't. Other than just it's kind of like the cliches: do the next right thing, or do the do's and don't the don'ts. You know, that's kind of.
Well, you
of
live
it.
Your life like that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting because I think the thing that we've talked about this recently, off air and on air in some of our guests is giving back.
Yeah.
Giving back is important. It's important when you have, we lead pretty blessed lives and, collectively and individually, mm-hmm. we're pretty, I feel like we're pretty fortunate people to be in the world we're in. So to give back in some way, to share, your, whatever you can bring to people who need help is important. And
yes.
I think that'll be it for me in 15. I think that's what I'm trying to get back to. And I did some of it later in the calendar year of 2014.
No, you did it earlier because when we went to the Black and White Ball together,
mm-hmm. that was a big one.
You made a big donation that night.
Oh, yeah. I have donated that I have done.
And you did a lot of support. But I do have to say that one of the things I will take away is one of the pictures that makes me laugh the most, which I love the photo, but one of the pictures that is probably one of the photos of 2014, when I look back like on the photos that, because with Instagram and all that social media now, we're a lot more focused on photos than we used to be.
Yeah.
Is us at the Black and White Ball, and I was stumbling a little bit because I still didn't have my balance together. And we have this adorable picture of us in front of Cartier, the two of us, and I am almost in a full-on nip slip.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a very popular photo.
I'm giving a lot
photo.
Of side boob and almost a nip slip. And so that is like one of those photos that when I think about 2014 that always makes me laugh. Like, I'm like, I remember the whole night, I'm like, cats, let me know if something happens.
I didn't do a very
keep
good job.
Yeah. I think I spent half the night with my shawl draped over my chest.
And maybe it was subconsciously that I didn't want to let you know.
we also saw a lot of big changes in casting of shows.
We've seen a lot of changes in lineups. Yeah, we saw that happening in Rock of Ages. We saw a major cast turnover there. We saw it in
Jersey Boys.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a big one. We had Devin May and Jeff Lebo leave that show after
came in and talked about it. And mm-hmm. Devin has a television project possibly with Oscar Goodman, former Mayor Oscar Goodman, and also some acting. And he invented something that sounds so cool, but I still can't picture. I need to get a picture of one.
Incredible.
So
remarkable.
Remarkable.
That's, Devin's a unique guy. He is. He's a Renaissance guy. He's just, and he has, it's funny when people leave their shows or do side projects, they're always different. And that Jersey Boys cast is a great example of it. You have the lead characters, you have Graham with he's got kind of an alt rock band. Jeff with Neurofibromatosis Network.
Yes.
That's where he's going to be.
Yeah, that's what he's going to be doing from now on. By the way, speaking of giving back, that's another great event that happened this year.
Jeff, and he's been around very busy lately as the year has ended. He's been, he was at the last Composer Showcase and did a song that he's, that is part of his, he's going to make a single out of it and raise money for NF Hope. And that's his full-time job. And you've got Devin with his Goodman project.
He's doing remarkable.
Remarkable with Bart
Devin. Is remarkable.
He's a radio host in Las Vegas and a buddy of mine. And, it's just interesting to see how people branch out away from their
Carrie
given shows.
Carrie St. Louis left Rock of Ages to go and do it on Broadway, which is now gone going.
And, yeah.
But she had already left before that, which is...
She left the show in New York before it closed, And, Justin Moriletti also left that show.
Yes, that's true. He left and went to New York.
And went back to New York. And, they come and go here in Las Vegas. We have such a high concentration and a high volume of performers here that it's hard to keep track.
But I do love when they stay.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that even after show closes that people stay.
Yeah, I do too.
Nothing against those that left.
Well, it's good because you wonder that. I've always said that, when I heard Phantom was closing, I was wondering about all those performers in that show. And Kristen Herzenberg,
we've
had recently. And
Andrew Ragone
and Showstoppers.
Showstoppers.
Boy, is that guy something else. I saw that in, it's now running, but in preview form. And he is a superstar, man.
Yeah.
And
him, he was amazing.
And Randall Keith also in that show was in Phantom.
Was in Phantom,
in Showstopper. So it's important to the community that we can maintain some of these artists and keep our city's image and personalities, the entertainment capital of the world, alive. Because, we're going to need a new wave of stars to make that happen.
And you did a lot of traveling.
You know, I did.
This year.
I did a lot of traveling, different types of traveling. This is like my get back year. I went back up to Chico, California, where I grew up and had my high school class reunion. That was interesting. I hadn't been there in about 7 or 8 years and met up with all my friends. And it's funny when you're from Las Vegas and you live in this world and you go back to your hometown and you haven't seen those guys in a while.
Yeah, I know. I did the same thing. I went back to Cleveland.
Yeah, and it was funny. I think I told you the first night we were there in Chico, we had a dinner at Sierra Nevada Brewery, which this is the home of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and the guys who founded it are still living there. And we walked in, and I'm very interesting to the people, especially those who have stayed around Chico. And they asked me some question about who I would be hanging out with, or who's your friends in Las Vegas, like Wayne Newton. And they pulled the name, they pulled like the one, like the least, in their mind, their least likely person.
You're like, well, it's a matter
I said, you're not
going to
like this answer. But I do know Wayne Newton.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I told them, they're like, oh, yeah, some of them knew about the show. They didn't know the connection that was there. So it's just a reminder that the world we live in is kind of unreal,
Yes. And you also have a little bebe Austin.
Little bebe Austin.
Your little nephew that is just growing like a weed. And yeah, my biological clock is growing every time I see a picture, if that's possible.
Austin is now, he's a beautiful kid. I've always said that I would not be the guy who would be posting photos of his nephew telling everybody how beautiful he is. But God, this is a beautiful kid. I can't even believe he's related to us. And he's become like a little model for Kidville here in Las Vegas, the preschool business out at Tivoli. It's a school that has classes for all these children, and they do music classes and athletic classes. And they've sent clothes up to my brother, and they take pictures of him modeling them, and they put them on their website.
Okay.
So now Austin up there in Boise, without knowing it, is a sort of a star model for this this franchise.
And I have done the same thing with my dog, Lily. You bought her a cute little outfit, which, of course, I had.
I did.
I swear, the crazy thing is that
York.
If I had a child, I swear I would probably be like on Toddlers and Tiaras or something. Because that child would be like, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, let's get to work. Come on, model pout. Like, I'd be one of those crazy moms, like, dancing behind them, because I do that already with my dogs. But for me, the biggest story of 2014, can you guess it?
The biggest story for the Dishy. Let me think about this one now. Let me think.
And we could also, I'll give you a hint, we could call Jeff Timmons about it.
Oh, boy. All right. I was going to guess another area, but it's the return
of the king.
Of King James.
Yes! To Cleveland!
To the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, and I don't even care that, it's like, and I
you
said.
You really
this,
don't care.
I said this year that it was good. I didn't expect them to do big things.
No, they're not going to do big things this
because,
year.
Because, it takes time to get a, to gel
it's hard.
Together,
it's hard when
everything.
You throw a superstar
exactly.
into an existing team, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. to make that all happen. But it's like just the fact that to me, all of the, resentment and hostility that I, as well as many other Cleveland fans had, he showed such class doing it the way that he did it, unlike, the decision, that he did it a beautiful letter that should have made everybody feel, he was humble. What they did was Sports Illustrated. The letter that he did, I think, was beautiful. And it was very well done. I wish he would have done it the first time around. If he would have done it that way, don't get me wrong. We all would have been upset that he left. But mm-hmm. we wouldn't have had the anger that
we
had.
It's the modern day superstar. He's a product of that culture, good, bad, or otherwise. And it made sense for him to do it that way at the time, I'm sure. But, you grow as a person. He's now – LeBron's been in the league for 10 or 11, 12 years. Yeah. I mean, he came out when he was an 18 or 19-year-old athleete.
I remember him in high school.
Yeah.
He was
the star, superstar, and he's fulfilled all of that potential. But, it's not just in athletics and in all mediums, the entertainment world.
you know, everything's kind of contrived anymore. And that was what that whole decision was. It was
it was just
manufactured. It wasn't real. And I think the later decision was his real. That's probably really who he wants to be.
I love it when he said, my love for Northeast Ohio is bigger than basketball. I didn't know that 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was, 3 years ago, but I know it now.
Well,
and that line for me was...
He went to the Heat to win a championship, and he did win
multiple
championships. He won two championships with the Miami Heat and got them there and satisfied that. So I think it's good. You know, he's had a... I mean, let's face it. He's had a Hall of Fame career if it ends today.
Yep.
And, you know, that's it's a testament to his own personal, you know, fulfillment that he
and
went
he just
back
won in front of... Prince William and Duchess Kate.
Yeah, and you know the thing about
his royalty all about with King James.
That's it. They're going to have to rest him during the regular season better if they're going to have any chance in the playoffs because they're running him out. I mean, he's getting very, very tired.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if I told you, I saw him one time here in Las Vegas. It was about 3 years ago. I saw LeBron James in a neighborhood in Las Vegas. You know where Michael Jackson's home was on the west side. Michael Jackson's had a residence. We were doing something down there covering it, and I was in that neighborhood. And Frank Marino has a home there also. And I was walking around. It was on foot, you know, as you would be walking around. And there were all these there was the production truck and a bunch of SUVs on the street, and a lot of activity out in front of this one particular house. And I stopped and I was looking, and all of a sudden, out of one of these SUVs steps LeBron James. I mean, it's LeBron James, and this guy is
massive.
He is enormous. He is a formidable physical person. And I saw him right across the sidewalk, and I'm like, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, can I help you? One of those things. And I said, well, I told him who I was. And I said, I'm not here. I'm here coincidentally, but what are you guys doing? They were doing a commercial for riding mowers for lawn equipment, landscaping equipment.
And
it's a commercial where he was driving.
Las Vegas?
I don't know why they were here, but he was driving a little a little riding mower across this. It was fake grass, and you know he's huge, and that was the shtick. That was the shtick was he was going to be on the mower, and you know that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. I don't know whatever happened to the commercial. But
I don't recall the commercial, but you had the sighting. So, we've had, with all the new, if someone was coming into town tomorrow, this is an unfair question to ask you. What would you think would be the most Middle America show that you could recommend for people to see?
Well, I would say if they want a show that will give them an idea about what the city's entertainment is like and kind of a historical tack, probably Vegas the show. I would send them to that because you get a good idea about the city's heritage. There's a lot of history described in it. Then you have shows that would be just kind of goofy. It just depends on the age division. Like Menopause Musicals has moved over to Harrah's. That's always a good. I've always enjoyed that show, and it's a Middle America feel type show. That's one of them. That's a very good question. I think Human Nature is a good show.
Yeah, I was just about to say my three that I would tell people to go see that I do recommend. Like again, if it's somebody that's in their 20s, I'd say go see Absinthe or go, you know what I mean, something like that. But it's we had, a lot of people have come in because of, obviously, with NFR happening, we had a lot of people coming in visiting. And I recommended Human Nature.
Yeah.
And Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
And Donnie and Marie.
Donnie and Marie,
those are kind of three shows that it's, you know, people, I would say over 35, that it's, that you know all the songs and you can sing along and it's fun and it's cool.
And they got the stars. I mean, you know those individuals.
Yes, exactly.
Production shows. I like Million Dollar Quartet a lot. We just saw recently Clint Holmes sang at the end of the show the other night. That's a good, you know, it's a good piece. You know, it's got a good little story in it and the music's very satisfying and the band is great. That's a good show. Who else? You know, it just depends on
the person.
Yeah.
We also had a lot of new additions, happened to the landscape as far as the way shows are done. I mean, we have the whole Link.
Yep. Yep. The Link. We have the Link Casino and we have the Link Promenade. And the Link Casino, folks, is what used to be the Link Hotel Casino used to be the Imperial Palace.
But now, what did they call that area where they had the ACM concert for?
They
cause?
Have that is the back. No, here's an interesting.
What is it
thing.
Called? Though?
That I don't think they've named that. There's that's a festival ground behind yeah. there. Yeah, and this is part that is part of a trend. I don't think they've done anything since the ACMs out there. There's some conflict about that space because of the people who live on the other side of it don't like the shows, so they're fighting about it right now. But they're doing a lot more stuff in the city outside.
Yeah, I was going to say that because then we also saw the as I called it the
Village MGM Resorts Festival Grounds.
Yeah, the one where they had the country festival. Yeah,
that's the Village. It's called the MGM Resorts Village, and that's the open space. It was once just an unused lot across the street from the Luxor, and that was where we had the country fest. Show out there with the...
Yeah, I mean, it's neat that right in the heart of the city, you're getting that, you know? And then just that whole big change with then having the Link, I mean, the High Roller open, and you had all of those things around there, like Brooklyn Bowl and all that
Brooklyn
kind of
Bowl,
stuff.
That's the anchor entertainment tenant for the Link. And that's they've got all kinds of great stuff going on in there. The Roots are playing in there, I think, on New Year's Eve. They just announced Jack White from the White Stripes. He's going to be in there. And they've done a lot of really cool shows in there. Elvis Costello, they had Jane's Addiction in there recently in that place. And that's very, very busy programming, very busy. Almost every night they've got something going on. Trombone Shorty, Funk Jam, the local band in there in Las Vegas that's very popular, also plays in there. You can't really go wrong if you go over on that side of the strip in that area because it's got so much going on.
Yeah, it just seems
there's so much programming in there. And the Link Hotel is where Frank Marino's Divas show is. It's where Jeff Civilico's Afternoon Juggling show is, which is great for families. That's in the hotel side of it. And then you're also connected to Flamingo, where you've already mentioned. So that's that whole area there is
it's
very,
just,
very
just
busy.
It's different. Yeah, the whole thing is it's a neat how new things are always popping up. Like, I still have not gone on the High Roller.
Oh, my gosh, really? 30 minutes. That's all it takes.
You know, it's crazy. As many times I was asked to do it. You know,
I want to go with you on it because I'm gonna know what you think of somebody who's lived here for quite a while. It's an interesting vantage point.
Yeah,
of
I'd
the
love
city.
To do it. Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking about the outdoors. We get, and the another one as far as outside entertainment is MGM Resorts Festival Grounds, which is the north side of the strip on the northwest. No, it's the northeast corner. Wait, let me get this right. Northwest corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara. And it's right across from SLS. And that is going to be home to the Rock and Rio Music Festival in May over 2 weekends. And we have no doubt Metallica.
Yeah, great lineup.
God, John Legend's in this show. I mean, we have a lot of great acts. Taylor Swift is going to be in this lineup. And that's going to draw 80,000 people a night over 2 separate weekends right on that corner.
And then Life is Beautiful downtown. I mean, it's like we've just, it just seems like we are, you know, iHeartRadio, all this stuff. We're kind of just becoming, it's kind of a cool thing that we're getting all these festivals.
You know, it's funny. Because Las Vegas is very resilient when it comes to its entertainment. We adapt very quickly. And hands up, by the way, to the LVCVA and Las Vegas events, our promotional arms, our marketing arms of the city, because I know Wayne's been involved in a lot of their outreach. They just had a commercial with Imagine Dragons. That's helped set Las Vegas apart, how they market this city and how they remind people of what we have here. Las Vegas was never known as a big outdoor festival place until fairly recently when EDC started being performed at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Now we found all these open areas outside to do big festivals. Life is Beautiful downtown, the resorts, grounds, and festival, and a village that MGM has. And this is a conscious effort to rebrand the city as a more of an events city rather than just showrooms or arenas. And we're going to have an arena coming in anyway. But it's just an amazing transformation that's happened, calculated yet organically.
Because it's of very the way the market has changed. I had a lot of fun going to Chicago doing the Vegas summer season.
Don't they love Las Vegas?
Yeah, oh my gosh, it was crazy.
They go crazy.
Well, first of all, when you're walking around the streets with Wayne Newton and Tux and two
nuts.
Showgirls at 5 in the morning in downtown Chicago.
It's Ferris Bueller action.
Yeah, it was. Everybody talked about Ferris Bueller. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. It was fun, you know. It was Vegas season, the season of pleasing. I love the Tom Dietz and all those guys over there. I love it.
Yeah, they don't get enough credit because people kind of take that for granted. But I've seen it happen. happened, and they were very instrumental in returning the rodeo to Las Vegas.
Yes,
they
did absolutely. We almost lost the rodeo. That would have been harsh.
Oh, man. We just came off that coverage, and I talked to Carl Stressman during the course of the National Finals Rodeo, who's the guy from the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association who worked that end of the deal with the people from Las Vegas events, and also Michael Gahn from the South Point, and you know, people like Bill McBeth, who's an MGM Resorts executive who helps with these negotiations. And the Carl said that it was very – they were ready to move that rodeo to Florida. They were really ready to go. And
that
it wasn't until
–
and he goes, but those guys from – he goes, these guys from Las Vegas, are like, they really know how to negotiate. You know, they really know how to sell the city, and they really knew how to come up with a plan that would keep it here for 10 years. And without that, we would have lost, you know, upwards of $100 million in non-gambling revenue in the city every year for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it is – I mean, you know, you can't move around Thomas and Mack during this time of year.
Yeah, it's absolutely
slammed. You might as well just give up. And then you have Cowboy Christmas over there at the events, you know.
Yeah. The convention center.
Yeah, the convention center. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's crazy. And then on top of it, this is the holiday shopping time. So it's right near the fashion show. So it's like, it's crazy. But, you know, so it's they do so much. They really do. They do so much there. And it's, you know, we live in a very, very cool city. And we have big changes coming through with big lineups. So, you know, with Celine and Shania going.
Yeah,
and
Shania's finished her run as of this taping.
And Reba and
Brooks and Dunn
coming in. I mean, it's, you know, in the rumors of J-Lo, which have not come to fruition yet. But.
Well, we might know by the time this airs. J-Lo is looking like, at this sitting, to be headed for Planet Hollywood, I believe. There's another
with
headliner.
Britney type of a thing?
Yeah, on Britney. Britney's off. Yeah. It's toggling. There's a woman headliner coming into the Coliseum who's not J-Lo that they're going to announce.
Katy Perry, maybe.
It's not going to be Katy Perry.
Oh.
I know. I thought so, too. Not going to be Katy Perry. It's going to be somebody significant. And John Meglin, the guy from AEG Live who books the room, he's joked to me, but I thought there was some seriousness in it. He goes, we like one named artist, somebody we can identify with one name.
Madonna.
First or last.
We'll see. Well, it'll be that
I would love to see Madonna show up in Las Vegas.
And of course, the show went on 3 hours late last time, but that's okay. But, we were both there.
But we love the DJ.
Yes. Oh, God. But I want to say I've loved having another year of Cats of the Dish with you. More importantly,
it's a well-oiled machine,
you know,
baby.
As your friendship has meant the world.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And
that's
in 2015, we're going to have a lot more shenanigans that are going to ensue.
Yes, it'll be an action-packed year. We don't know what it'll be, but we know it'll be fun.
And we know we'll be here.
Right on. We'll talk to you guys next year.
Happy New Year.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.